Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Alisa.
My name's Liz. Hello, baby girl.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. A little sleepy, but I'm okay.
Yeah, you and me both, sister. Oof, too cold. I'm sure it's very cold over there. I know how cold it gets in Atlanta.
It's cold, but it's not, we got snow cold, as far as I can tell. You know, like I'm looking at my friends who live in D.C., and they're just posting photo upon photo of all the snow that's been falling.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
A lot of snow in D.C.?
Yeah, a friend of mine. Looks like it. Pretty decent amount.
Damn. So. Okay. No, we ain't got time for that. Anyway, so today is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Everything's such a blur, but it's a good blur. Where do we begin? The conversations have been so varied and so interesting lately, and we never know where it's going to lead, especially when we have a call, and conversation points us in a certain direction or not. So very interesting, just the different themes we're talking about. And you've been doing a very good job of relating that to Twitter, so I want to acknowledge that. You're really good at sort of capturing the theme of the show. So those of you that aren't following us on Twitter, what's the handle? At the Some of You Show? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Some of You Show.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter. Yay. So, oh, my God. And I also feel when the temperature drops or it's just been cold for a while, I kind of feel like my IQ sort of slipping away. So, got to get my act together, stay smart. And I also think once this month is really behind us, that I will feel a lot of peace and a lot of closure in terms of like the past year, which thank God is in the past and moving forward and healing and being unstoppable, really. And just on this mission to make sure that my household and my kids are stable and seeing glimpses of that. But, cheers to all the single moms out there. Wow.
Mm.
Oof. I remember when I wasn't you.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. It's a lot. And I understand why people don't take that step because it's a lot to take on. That decision is a lot. If you make that decision, please make it a very well thought out, like it's worth it decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like I don't like that, you know, his hairline's receding. Like that's not a good reason. Like really have a good reason. Have a good reason to put yourself in the spot. Yep. And the thing that I'm really observing, and in this observations, compassion has come in, thankfully, is that I know whether my kid's father agrees with me or not, doesn't matter. I know that the quality of the relationship that the children have with their father is better than ever, or better than it would have been if I didn't make this decision.
Right.
Yes, and right. And when I realized that, and to my surprise, I was really flooded with a lot of compassion. Just, you know, it's just the unfortunate truth, and, you know, we have to do what we have to do. But my days of blaming or victimhood or any of that stuff, I don't have time for that. So it's a new day.
Wow.
Oh.
To me, this it's been interesting. Like, the stuff you've been saying just now is just having me, you know, just pause to think about relationships and the dynamics that happen when you are in a relationship with someone and then you decide to say have children or decide to get married or make a commitment and then build a life together.
Right.
And this is something, you know, it's something that, because I have been single for such a long time,
mm-hmm.
That I think it's always been in the back of my head, because, you know, I've always been that person where I see what everyone else is doing, but I'm like, I don't know if that's for me. Like, I don't know if that's if that's really.
I say that now. I say that now when I see like couples, I'm like, no, that's really funny. I say that now.
No, but not even that. I mean, it's interesting because I think, you know, here I have, I've got parents that have been together for over 50 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know it's not been easy. I know that it's not, you know, it's not like a 100% perfect. They're always happy 24/7.
Of course, right.
And I think because it's been, you know, it actually is. You said, you know, here's to all the single mothers out there. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking there are a lot of them out there.
There's so many.
There are a lot of single mothers. But, you know, that wasn't, for me, that wasn't necessarily the case growing up where I knew of friends who had parents who, most of them had just divorced, you know, not most of them, but if I knew them, it was divorced. It wasn't like, oh, we're separated, or it wasn't like, oh, I never knew my father. So that was me growing up. But then as I got older, a lot of those marriages did dissolve, you know, something did happen where, you know, that was more and more frequent. And I always wondered about my friends who did have to do, you know, the single parent thing, usually single mother. And so I see how these relationships work and in the context of what we're supposed to, you know, what we were taught to do. And even in the context of why marriage, at least in our history, you know, Western history, you know, the really powerful families did marriages. It was a contract, you know, it was a way to build your fortune.
Right.
It was it was strategic. It
was
not about love. It was strategic, and it was to gain power. So, you know, so we kind of come in with all that baggage of it. And then somehow it got into, you know, the religious part of it, which still probably had nothing to do with love, but,
right.
I didn't want to get into all that, but nope. I think it was still, meant to be, there was an obligation to like the family or the community to keep certain structures in place or to, improve.
Right.
I think there's an important element in that, and I mentioned all this because I've been, you know, in my, as like I said, I don't really watch a lot of what everyone else is watching, but because I have Prime, I have Amazon Prime, I'll pick up a few like random shows, and so one show that it was from back in like the mid '90s it started.
Oh my
it's
God.
A British show, yeah. It's Bramwell, and it's about a female doctor in like the late 1800s.
Oh.
And she is not really accepted. She did her training and stuff like that. Her father is a doctor, well respected. But here she is. She's just drawn to it. And her father was her only parent. Her mother died in childbirth.
Oh.
So she had a different, and they're like, I guess doctors then were considered, they weren't like, you know, rich people, but they were like, you know, upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she had some of the respect just because they had the money. But in terms of her knowledge, she was not accepted and was not given any kind of, no, she just wasn't taken seriously. But she ends up running she calls it it's basically an infirmary in the slums of East London.
Mm.
And she's, you know, struggling with, you know, getting patrons to support it because she can't do it on her own.
Right.
So, like, in her profession, like, she has to deal with all these barriers and stuff like that. But it's also, this is the end of the Victorian era. So there's just a lot of stuff that she has to deal with. And I think in the harsh reality where she's not really protected because of her her status, and she's in the slums, I mean, they take everybody. They take in everybody, anybody who needs it. It's a free clinic, free infirmary. And she's seeing what really happens with people. And she's also seeing what, you know, some of the tough decisions that everyday people have to make when they don't have, you know, their father kind of taking care of things behind the scenes. And, you know, she's seeing these things. She also has, like, the worst taste in men.
ain't it,
know,
so.
I mean, when it comes to affairs of the heart, it ends up just being a hot mess. But I just found that very interesting.
Was it based on something, a true person?
I don't know. It could be. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't.
Sounds interesting.
But it was just it. Yeah, it is. The lead, the female is. She kind of reminds me of one of my friends, just the way she looks and some of her mannerisms. So I thought that was very interesting. And then also just the setting of, you know, being in that period of time where, you know, we have come quite a long way. But,
yes, we have.
But I see where some of the restraints were for just everyday things, you know, where, you know, the man, whether it's your father or your husband, made a lot of these decisions. And you know, women just had to take it. Like, okay, well, I guess that's what I'll do, you know. It just was very interesting to me. I don't know if it's like some past life thing coming in, like, what the hell is going on there? But, but yeah, you know, to see someone, because some of the men she get involved with, I mean, I think they did respect her because she was so different from everybody else, certainly in her ambition and in her knowledge. She's also incredibly compassionate, definitely in the series, definitely to a fault, because she would get herself kind of in over her head, and not really think about the other consequences of you know, just taking that extra step. It's still, you know, when you enter a world and you see things very black and white, eventually you start seeing where, my decision just really impacted somebody else, you know, because I was following some of these, you know, these norms that I'm used to.
Right.
And I didn't see, like, you know, like near the end of the series, there's a fire in a nearby brothel. Now, they don't ask questions because, you know, there's a fire, people, that's the closest place, they bring them there. But obviously, you know, when you get a whole bunch of women in there, you're like, okay, something's up. You know, these are, you can tell by the way they're dressed. You know, but one of them had a kid with her, like, it was her daughter. And so the daughter was not involved in you know, the trade, and that was the whole point,
right,
was that her mother was trying to keep her safe, but needed her close by. But because so many of the women just needed attention, and they didn't want to have the kid just, you know, kind of walking around, and everybody, it was just a lot of chaos. So the doctor said, well, you know, she really can't be here. You know, she's kind of in the way. We have a lot of stuff to do. So the landlady of the brothel that just burned down came by to check in on her women, but mostly check in to see if, just kind of check in to see if they had any money with them, that type of thing. It was, you know, she was, because, you know, her house burned down, so she doesn't have a place.
Right.
But she ends up taking the little girl. And the girl's like, no, I'm not supposed to go with you. And just, I don't want to go. I want to stay with my mom. And the doctor, the lady doctor, was like, no, you know, she's exhausted. She's thinking, no, you know, it's probably better for you to not be here. There's a lot going on. So sends her away with who she thinks is, you know, it's the landlady. So she knows. She's, no. So obviously the landlady was like.
Not a good call.
No. That episode is basically, she deals with realizing what's going on and who she just sent this girl home with, not even home. And so she's distraught. She's also, by the way, pregnant. She's not married, but she's pregnant.
Oh, my God. She's got a good head on her shoulders. Sensible.
It
sounds great, though. My kind of show.
Yeah. The last season is basically two episodes, a really long episodes, but it's very different from the first three seasons. So I really didn't like the way it ended. It was a little disjointed, but I thought that, obviously, I thought the characters were engaging to try to keep up with all the different changes that were going on.
What's the name
again? It's an interesting Bramwell, B-R-A-M.
Bramwell. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Good to know. Well, thank you.
Yeah. So you know, we're talking about having to do things, you know, very differently.
Yep.
I remember at one point Anna asking me, you know, why, like, at this point, all of us, my brothers and I, were all single. And she's like, do you think, you know, seeing how, you know, relationships have played out in your family, you know, like with your parents, is that, you know, maybe a reason why you're not, you know, you're not wanting to go into it? I'm like, you know, perhaps. I mean, I think I see my parents, and on many occasions I see them as very happy, but I also have been a little aware of some of the dynamics and not really understanding it. You know, like the cold shoulder treatment. At that point, not understanding why that was a way to communicate. Nothing, but it was a way to communicate. But
right.
And just seeing how that just didn't quite sit well, even though that was what I knew growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But then getting out into the world and seeing other people and realizing, oh, so that's not really the only way to communicate.
Right.
But it just wasn't the way that I was used to. I was, you know, I'm like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's not only that not only because of the poor communication or, you know, non-communication that you have to deal with, because then there's just a lot of questions, too much analyzing and introspection, because you don't have a way to voice it. You know, you don't have a way to talk it out. If no one in your family really talks about stuff, you don't talk it out.
Nope.
So not only that, but also the responsibilities that come with, oh, if you decide to be in a relationship with somebody, then naturally you're going to do this and this and this and this. I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm ready for all that.
No.
I don't think I want to do, you know, I don't think that's really
right.
What I want to do.
Right.
I mean, and it was just one of those things where, like, you know, I think motherhood is beautiful. I think now it'd be like, okay, that's a pretty thing. But, you know, when I was growing up, I'm like, no, I don't want to take care of, you know, somebody else, you know, or I just couldn't fathom it, because I also saw all the stuff my mom did. Now, granted, my mom is like, she wants to do it all herself because, you know, that way she knows she does it right. But it's also incredibly tiring.
Yep.
So I didn't see where, you know, where if you're in partnership, what does that really look like? Because I saw people kind of doing it on their own.
Right.
And then happen to, you know, share a meal together, you know. That was just what I saw and also some of what I felt. So
right.
I just didn't see where, you know, where were people really
pitching in.
You know,
right.
You know where I saw it happen was when we were traveling, when we were on vacation.
Right.
You and
saw
that, you know?
Other people. Right.
You know, just even with our family, because, you know, we kind of had to get along.
Oh, of course, because I understand now. Yeah, right.
Because
right.
we're in a vehicle, you know, we were basically driving
right.
together and, you know, or we were camping. So we kind of, you know, that was like a special treat, but we all sort of did our own thing. And that's sort of, and as I'm talking it out, I'm realizing, well, that's sort of what we're doing. We've all kind of continued that.
Yep.
Some to extreme degrees of I'm going to do it on my own.
Yep. It's
not
like
even
going
to talk to anybody.
Right. It's like what they call with kids, parallel play, where it's like there could be two kids playing, but they could be in the same room, but one could be in one area,
mm-hmm.
one could be in the other
mm-hmm.
area, and that's very much how I grew up, because my father wasn't around. It was
right.
very very different when he showed up. All of a sudden, my mother completely changed her role, where all of a sudden she's like the doting wife, and I'm like, have we met? Because 2 weeks ago when he was out of the country, it was a whole different situation. But okay.
Right.
Very, very confused. Very confused.
Right.
Yeah. We never sat and had dinner together as a family. It was just,
wow.
Yeah, very rarely. Oh, maybe if we went to a restaurant, Thanksgiving. But very, very rarely. And what's interesting is that I don't really sit down and have, unless it's a restaurant, like with my kids.
Mm.
Like, be home for dinner. Like, I'll make dinner. Help yourself. Are you hungry? I'll bring
right.
you a plate. But yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm.
You know? That,
see, that's
yeah.
that's one of the things that I do enjoy, sitting down and having a meal, and even
yes,
even as a
of course.
As a teenager,
yeah.
because we had such different schedules by then. We were all very busy. It was very rare. I mean, it was on the weekends usually,
mm-hmm.
where we would finally sit down and have some meals together. But during the week, you know, breakfast, everyone's kind of doing their own thing.
Right.
Lunch, obviously, you're out during the day. Dinner.
Right.
You didn't really have it because my parents ate early because my mom knew my dad's schedule. So he would eat at like 5 o'clock or something, you know, something really
right.
early. And,
right.
you know, I'm still at a meeting or, you know,
right.
we're
at school.
We're
mm-hmm.
in marching bands or whatever. So
right.
we would get home and it would be, you know, by then it would be leftovers, but it would be like my mom's like, here's, you know, here's your food. And I guess we sat down on the table, but, you know, we didn't all have to sit down on the table. I don't know. I just remember missing that element. So when my friends, you know, I go to my friend's house and his mother would be like, oh, you know, you're here. Why don't you come in and sit down and have a meal? And my friend's like, no, we got to go. I'm like, no, we'll sit down. You know, I'm
yeah,
all
no,
about
no,
that.
No, hello. No, we'll make time.
yeah. Are you kidding
right.
me? Oh, there's a plate. There's a table. That's amazing.
There's a plate. It's set. Hello. You made the food ready?
right.
Right, stupid. Right.
Right. But, you know, I guess it's also because I do, it's nice to have the option of having that conversation, you know, just being able to share the day.
Yes, I love that.
It is interesting, though, because that is what we grew up with. And, you know, like, you know, your father really wasn't around.
No, he wasn't. Right.
And my father wasn't around because he worked a different shift every 2 weeks.
Oh, forget it.
They would change his schedule. So either you caught him for a few minutes in the afternoon when he was dead tired, or you didn't catch
right.
him at all, you know,
right.
he was working overnight or, you know, he was doing something. So he was
right.
working. But what's interesting, because, you know, again, as I'm talking this out, he did what he had to do.
Exactly.
And that was an agreement with his wife.
Right.
He and she worked it out where, she'll stay home, manage the house and the kids. He will make the money. She will budget, and he turned pretty much everything over to her. I mean, so that there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but that kind of works that's like a business thing. Like, okay, well, you do this, and
partnership,
I'll do this.
Right? Marriage,
right? So there's a lot of stuff that I know I didn't see, and now I see it because I see how they have saved and how they continue to save for whatever they want to do, and they just set a date and it happens,
and they did it all along. Like, that's impressive.
Right.
That's impressive that they were so smart about managing their money. Like, wow.
I kind of wish they showed me how to do that. But,
Hi, this is Wing and a Prayer Investment Group. Yeah.
right.
Lord.
Right. I see that there are levels of success. I don't know if there are, sustained levels of happiness, because we grew up in a particular, we grew up in a particular environment, or like in our reality, and we only pick up on so much. And I think because of the way we can express ourselves in emotion, usually the things that you pick up on is when things are really hard. You will pick up on the frustration of your mother for whatever reason she's frustrating, whether it's because she probably hasn't seen her husband in a while and would like to see him. In my mother's case, she's got, three crazy kids that are just hanging out. And I don't know, but what I pick up on is, I think there's a great amount of loneliness that happens, even if you are in a partnership. And you still have to figure out your own stuff.
Oh, my poor mom, right. She's basically,
married,
but like abandoned, but still married.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, when you're growing up and you're watching TV shows, and kind of loop it back around, you're watching TV shows and you're seeing, people who watch the soap operas see all of that, but then there's like a lot of intense passion and there's all this, oh my gosh. Oh. And so you wonder, what the hell happens here? Like, I only see that on TV, I don't see it around me. You try to figure stuff out. You try to figure out what's true.
Right.
But you can only know what, we go off of what you know or what you think you know. So I think kind of stepping out, and my brothers have had their own different relationships, and it's interesting because I think like my brothers have definitely been in long-term relationships before. Obviously, one of them is married now, so it's and that looks really good. It seems really good, to me.
It's good. It's really good. It's good. It's good.
There's a calmness about it that I had not really seen with my brother, at least for a long time. He has always seemed a little unsettled. So I know that it's good. So I look at them. I'm thinking, they picked up on something there from my parents. Meanwhile, I'm like, not going to commit to anything.
He felt the difference. Like he really understood through the contrast. He really understood through being married before and that falling apart.
Right.
Being very unhappy and having a lot of unfinished business. And when you left, which was good because you were a little bit of a scapegoat, I would say energetically, he really made moves to upgrade his situation energetically. And when he felt the difference, it was really simple. It was like he's for lack of a better, I know he's an anthropologist, but let's say he thinks like a scientist. So he proved his hypothesis. Boom. So he knew if I marry this person, I will upgrade my energy. I will upgrade.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And he has. I mean.
By the basis of comparison and contrast. Right. Right. And that he really didn't want to feel like he couldn't establish roots again. Because he really wanted to, but I mean, I don't know. I co-host a radio show. It was almost like mission aborted with the first marriage, because I energetically I'm picking up that he was completely blindsided. Like he didn't want that to end. He didn't want to, it was completely. It was almost like energetically he was like the female, and not literally, but energetically. In that relationship, I don't know if that's true. That's just what I'm getting. And he needed to see the other side so that he would know what a woman in a relationship with him would need. And if he could express that, then it creates his ascension, and he upgrades in his energy. So I give him a lot of credit. And, of course, this is all unconscious. But that's
right.
That's just what I'm getting.
Right.
And the willingness and that a lot of people get caught up in, not him, but a lot of people get caught up in, well, I better not fully invest in this person because there might be something better. It's like FOMO, fear of missing out. There might be somebody better than this, or I might be, it's like gambling. I might, you know, instead of cashing in my chips, let me, and then you could lose everything. But he took a very healthy risk. So, yeah. So good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good to see him happy, you know, and see them both happy, not just because he's happy and you know, she's like, well, I'm toughing it out. I think she's really happy, too. I mean, it was good to spend time with them this past Friday. I had dinner with them.
That's great.
Just sort of on the fly. Yeah, it was just nice to spend time with them at their house, you know. They made a meal together. Like they're like, oh yeah, we'll throw something together, which ended up being, you know, just amazing, you know, but very simple, but delicious dish. And it was just, you know, like I said, you know, I like being able to sit down and have a meal with people.
Me too.
I think that's,
that's why I like to host so much. I love just throwing things together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love that. Maybe that's why I could throw a party. You want to throw a little party? Give me an hour. Boom. And I will tear it up.
Yeah, because you'll run over to the store and like, oh yeah, we'll get this and we'll put that in, and I have some of this at home.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's nice to me. That's just really nice. I mean, there's
I'm all about a happy hour in the house.
Conversation.
All about a happy hour in the house. All about a happy hour in the house. Little plates and good, you know, sparkling whatever. And let's have a cocktail and a snack. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I love it.
So those are things that I do enjoy. But you know, like I say, you know, here I am again, still in observation mode and seeing you know, how many different types of people have I seen in all my life, you know, with their different relationship dynamics. And I'm wondering, I just don't know if I could do that, you know, or is that really what I want to be doing? So it's interesting because, you know, I'm sort of doing that whole compare and contrast thing too, but it's very much isolated, right? It's like,
oh yeah.
Well, don't know. But so anyway.
Interesting. I think kind of like with your brother, that it would be more of a situation, an opportunity, a happenstance, just something that's just going to present itself energetically. Oh, and you're not going to really think too much about it, which would be a good thing because you've been thinking so much about it in a different way.
Yeah,
there's no, I find it fascinating and a little scary, but fascinating how so many, I don't know about the numbers, but I've seen more of a tendency to this than kind of what we're talking about. Like, I don't know, that's for me. Let me just live my life and be very happy living my life, not feeling mm-hmm. like there's something missing, not feeling lonely. Don't feel any of that. Where the divorce papers aren't even signed and you're on freaking dating sites.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. That, or you're going to remarry, like, right away. Like, whoa. No, I'm not judging. I just, it's in the observation of it. It's, I find it fascinating.
Mm.
I find mm-hmm. it really fascinating. Because it's just a lot of work. Being in a relationship. Like, aren't you tired? Like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Right.
You know? Or somebody, or I've heard this referenced also when I was still married, allegedly happily married, where we're not friends now, but a former friend who's chronically single and lamenting, feeling that the answer to all of her problems would be, you know, and being in a relationship, not true, but that was
ooh,
her thing. And there's a lot
that's
of people.
Heavy.
That's heavy. That's a lot of people. It's so heavy. This is why we're not friends. And one of many reasons. And I had young children at the time, managing this very treacherous business that I'm in, all of this stuff, just going. And exhausted. And I remember one time when my kids were really small, she said, "Yes, but at least you have a warm body in the bed."
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Wow.
I'm like saying, and I said, I'm paying a high price for that warm body that's not really doing too much right now, okay? I'm paying a lot for that warm body. And let me tell you something. I don't miss having a warm body in that bed. I will starfish. I will spread out. I will roll around. I wake up, there's a smile on my face. Yeah, I don't know if I would be capable to, like, spend the night with somebody, like, I'm not talking about sex, just, like, in the bed.
Right.
I don't know if I, yeah, I'm like, I
wow,
like,
yeah.
I, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Unless it's a California king, I don't know.
Yeah, really big bed, right?
I want, like, a football field bed. If somebody else is going to be in it, so it feels like it's, like, my own bed. Something. I get it. No desire to live with somebody ever again in terms of being in a relationship. No desire. Nope. Do what I want when I want. Shave my legs whenever I feel like shaving my legs or not. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Honey, it's winter. Please. Oof. But it's yeah, I find
yeah.
it fascinating. Like, oh, I'm on three dating sites and I got five winks and two whatever shakes of a lamb's tail. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know. I've never even seen somebody else's interface. I see people swiping a lot, you know. And I know it's not Instagram.
Yeah.
I swipe. What the hell? Like, we're catalog shopping? I don't know. There's something weird about that to me.
Yeah, online stuff and these apps, I'm not.
Have you ever done
any
of that? No, right?
Shoo, online was way, way back in the day.
Probably was very different.
But very, yeah. It wasn't, this was like, gosh, in the early 2000s, you know?
Oh, my God. That was even before smartphones,
no.
I would imagine, right?
Pretty much. I mean, it was literally just you know on your computer, but
right.
You know, you'd eventually meet up with some of these people, but it was just so it was so not my style.
Yeah,
no, and
not me
and,
either.
You know, the quality of person. I mean, it's just like No.
Oof. It's scary.
This is, yeah, it was too much of an unknown. I'm like, I was incredibly uncomfortable. And, you know, for the most part, everyone's sort of, you know, they're sort of nice because it's the first time, kind of, oh, just, you know, meeting somebody for the first time, like really like in person versus, you know, talking on the computer or whatever. But I'm like,
you could be whoever you want to be on the computer. It's scary.
Oh,
no.
Sure. So no, I think I met someone I met two people. One of them went up being a good friend for a while, but she was a smoker. So I'm like, I didn't know that, but no, that's not. So, but she was really funny. I want to say she was like this crazy Jewish woman. But we ended up just being good friends. Otherwise, you know, it was just like, you know, just sort of hanging out. But there was one where we met and I knew right away, I'm like, no, I gotta get out of this. I gotta put an end to this tonight. You know, like this is, yeah, not just.
See, that's scary. And then how do you deal with that? Like, so uncomfortable, and you can't let the person know that you're like, you know, you're abandoned ship. Oh, you know, taking buckets, bailing out this, you know, the restaurant's getting flooded because you got to bail this like, how? What do you do? That's scary.
I think we both knew, like, that, this will be the only time you and I meet. So I will never see you again. Very civil. Yeah, very civil.
Oh, that's good.
So
somebody
that means,
feels
but,
one way and the other person
me.
Doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
no, thank God. Yeah, no, I've had
that's really
had
scary.
To deal
that's
with that
a big risk.
One of my dearest friends was on this date, and he's like, it just never ended. Like, and she still wanted to do stuff, and I'm like, trying to get out of it. I'm like, I felt really bad for
him.
There's some crazy. You can get those really crazy.
I've heard this.
Don't get a hint.
Crazy people out there where it could just be like the most innocent. Oh, we went to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. Or the most innocent. You kind of have a good time. It's like very like Fatal Attraction. You're kind of having like a good time. You think the person's, you know, kind of nice, kind of attractive, whatever. And I know of a situation where this guy had a very casual relationship with somebody, but realized she was very moving too fast, too needy, too quick, whatever. And so he was distancing himself. He wanted to like kind of nip it in the bud, but unfortunately, because they had been intimate, that sealed the deal for her. So you gotta be careful.
That sealed
the deal for her. So she thought, well, clearly you're going to be the father of my children and whatever.
Oh,
and meanwhile, it was very casual, very new. So he wasn't involved seriously with anybody. And she showed up at his house unannounced, right? Thank goodness the girl, the woman that he was with maybe like the night before, she had already left, so it was just him. But it was obvious that he had been with somebody, if you know what I'm saying. This woman who had all these, clearly she was mentally very unstable, barges her way into the apartment, finds a thrown pair of women's underwear that aren't hers, right? Confronts the guy like she's the wife. Meanwhile, it was a very casual relationship. This is so crazy, but it's, and I can't make this up, takes the underwear, rolls it up, and shoves it in his mouth.
Ooh. Oh. Oh.
I guess she had a point to make.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, you don't want to do... Yeah, you got to be careful. Like, you can't be... You don't know somebody. Like, don't...
Yeah.
You got to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Yeah. I'm just sorry. So, bedtime... Story hour with Liz on the LOA Podcast. Once upon a time. Oh, please... Please, Mary Poppins, please tell us another story. Okay. So she took the panties and she shoved it in his mouth. And then she burned the house down. The end.
Right.
Oh, fairy puppets, you tell the best tales.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, but then again, you know, people can snap at any time, right? I mean, even with people that you think you know, you're like, you know, or even with yourself, sometimes you can be in that situation, like, whoa,
I didn't know that was inside of me, in terms of that, that dark, that rage.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what we talk about on the LOA Blend. Not the LOA Blend, the Summer You Show. Hello. Lord. Throwback.
But just think about that, though, because when you, you know, even a casual relationship, that's still a relationship. So,
Nope.
How do you, you know, when you decide to move it from casual to exclusive,
it always turns into a thing.
You still need to be on the same page, whatever that means.
And you have to be careful too. You know, if bodily fluids are being exchanged, it's a whole thing.
And energetically, honestly, that's a lot of sharing. You know, energetically,
that's a lot of sharing. Maybe, yeah.
That's a very powerful type of connection. So.
Right.
I am surprised. I think that's something that, for me, even at an early age, I'm like, you know, that's powerful stuff. And
that's a lot to go around. And you're picking up on, not only each other's energy, but the energy that you're bringing into the relationship, especially if it's not exclusive. There's a lot of, it's complicated.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so that was something that, you know, that was never my scene. I was exhausted, you know, listening to friends who would do, got a date here, got a date there. I'm like, I didn't have the energy to even listen to the rest of the story, much less, you know.
Right, be participating.
Be there and do it.
No.
You know, I just thought, wow, that's... Too much of it. I just felt like that was not even the physical part. Honestly, it would be like the emotional part, the spiritual part.
Just the energy. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. Just being on the phone, sometimes just doing this show and being on the phone and kind of experiencing like all the energy. Maybe that's why I don't feel like there's anything missing, because I pick up on so much all the time. Like, okay.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, it's like who was it? There's some. I have friends that live in Hawaii. I have an ex-girlfriend that lives in Hawaii, and I remember her saying that because it's Hawaii and all these ocean, you know, the oceans and the beaches, and it's a very feminine energy that a lot of people don't seem to, you know, need to have that type of like the female companionship all the time because of that.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
She says, and so I'm like, well, that is kind of interesting. Because there's just a vibe about it. So if you can imagine a place or chain of islands or any islands,
people
that
go
have
on honeymoons.
That,
it's such a destination, and that makes sense actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, romantic getaway. Yeah.
All right. So. So I wonder where the opposite is.
Is she busy?
Is she?
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. Because I don't follow her that closely.
Right.
And she's. I think you've seen some pictures of her, because I think I've shown you like the people I've dated.
Yeah.
But she's. You know, it's hard to tell with her. And if she's actually seeing anyone, you know, if she's dating anybody, but I she's been in relationships, both male and female, but I don't know, since she's been there for a number of years now. I don't know if any of them are, you know, like really close, or if she's just kind of free spirited doing her own thing. That I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But those destinations.
She's in the ocean a lot. She does a lot. She does a lot of, like, you know, snorkeling and scuba diving and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with nature and, you know, with the dolphins, and so she kind of gets her. You know, she has her her passions, and definitely with nature, she loves that. So maybe it's not. It's not like a priority. I don't know. She seems to be fine. You know.
Exactly, as one would think. Right, you're your own person. Yeah, I think a lot of people fall into the trap like there's something missing, as opposed to, oh, this is an enhancement. Like, yes, I'm going to upgrade from coach to business class, or I'm going to upgrade from business class to first class. You know, it's still the same flight.
Right.
It's still the same flight. You know, maybe there's a few little enhancements, but it's still the same flight. interesting.
Yeah.
And for that, and it's a big price to pay. I mean, literally, that's a good metaphor. Like the whole thing, like the you know, how you're going to air travel.
Right.
You're going to pay a premium. And if you can do it, why not? It's beautiful.
Right.
And if not, you could still travel the same flight. You know, on your own. Be very happy to do that. I'd rather be the person in the last row of the plane, happy and single, than the couple in first class that can barely stand the sight of each other.
Yeah, I think that's what I find to be like the big eye-opening thing. So you have somebody, but it's really not somebody you want to spend any time with. So what was the point?
You have a warm body. I'm like, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then again, it's also not, it's also not that cut and dry either, but it's
of course not.
You know, is it worth all of that to get to that point to realize, oh my gosh, this isn't the person that I want to be with, or it's usually in addition to, this isn't the person I want to be.
Right. Who do I want to be? Who am I? True.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, we've talked about this over and over and over. The most important relationship is the relationship with yourself.
Right.
And I basically was down to the studs with that, where I was basically, I had no relationship with myself. So I've been on a quest for a couple of years now to get that back. It's a high price. High price to go from first class to economy, but that's okay. That's okay because I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's just nice to be in the place where there's no, like, lamentation or despair about it. I don't think you're lamenting either. I think you're curious. I think you're kind of like me in this situation where, you're open. But it's not doesn't define you, doesn't mean you're not fulfilled, doesn't mean you don't have a happy life, doesn't mean you don't love to interact with other people. Like, I think we love that. We love good conversation. We love humor. We love good food. We love a good glass of wine, like just certain things just to enhance your life, and it's not contingent upon whether you're with somebody or not.
Right.
Yeah, that's very liberating. And you can have fun and explore and do whatever you want to do. Just be open. Open to life's possibilities. You know, I've been saying this to several callers recently. I would say something like, and you do the show with me, are you willing to be open to possibilities? I am willing to be open to possibilities. That's not a hard thing to do. That's the universe being very, very supportive.
Right.
Yeah. I'm willing to be open to possibilities. And the thing is, we learn from exercising our options. And We can explore possibilities, or we can change our mind and try something else that's possible. But things are possible. New opportunities are possible. Abundance is possible. Healthy, loving relationships are possible. Doesn't mean you have to have them all at once, but there's just a vast, infinite storehouse of possibility. So just to be participant,
right.
just to be a willing participant to possibility, who knows what's to be lined up in this order, in this time? How do we know? So instead of making plans, let's just be open to possibility and have a good time being open while you're doing your due diligence and you're being responsible to what it takes to be a responsible adult in this culture, in this timeline, in this paradigm. Like, okay.
Mm.
Yeah. So very interesting. But I like that nothing's broken, nothing's missing, nothing's damaged.
Right.
Yeah, there isn't.
Right.
There isn't. And you can, and like what you said, you know, early on in, with the show, just being, I think it's very healthy. I'm the same way, being in a space of observation, healthy observation.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're a social scientist, like you're just really, really paying attention. And you can appreciate the beautiful details that you see, the small things, not the big things,
mm-hmm.
not the big overtures or the big weddings or and that to
oh.
me is so repellent. Never, I will never get married again. Like, yay. why? But the little things where it's how somebody will look at somebody else that they're in love with
mm.
or somebody's bringing somebody their coffee. The little things.
Right.
That's what I like. So I think that's where, you know, that saying, God is in the details. And I was teaching a class last night, acting for camera, coaching class, and I had to coach 10 actors, 10 different scenes, and I kept saying that the treasure is in the detail. The keys to the kingdom, that's what I said, the keys to the kingdom are in the details.
Hmm.
So you have to make very specific choices. You just can't read the words on the page. We're not doing that. I said, we're not acting, we're telling the truth. Put that script down. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The details, the little, how you listen. It's more important to listen than what you're saying. How you listen. How you look at somebody. How you regard them. How you present yourself. All those little things can make all different. You can have a plain t-shirt and you can put a funky statement necklace on, all of a sudden you just transformed your entire outfit just by putting something over your head.
Mm.
It's detail. And I think people just overlook them so much, and I think we really got to pay attention to that. Like, what's really going on here?
Right.
And it's the observational mind, which is what you were talking about, as opposed to the reactive mind.
Mm.
You know, and I think that as a default setting, I think it's very helpful to say to yourself, can I observe or do I need to react right now? Can my default setting be observation? As opposed to most of us, I think our default setting is reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting that you said that, because we've been observing our entire lives.
Right.
Watching this since
right.
we're babies, really. And forming those rudimentary impressions. So it's very, very interesting. So love that. Anyway, great conversation. And
yeah,
kind of nice just for us to have a little chat. So we've been busy with lots of callers dealing with things. So that's, all about observation, you know, and whether it's whoever's in your household, you're out and about in the world. And I think maybe with observation comes compassion. I don't know. But I think it's an interesting theme to continue to discuss. Observation, reactivity, compassion. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And that's a good place. That's a good place to leave it. Yay. So that was great. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this particular show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Thank you so much for a wonderful conversation. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you. Stay cozy.
Love you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.